So, my Jesus, I do thank you that as we've just been discussing all of these different topics this morning, that as Jane has just said, it all comes down to Jesus, you're our Savior. Holy Spirit, you are our counselor and our comforter and our daily guide. And thank you, Father, for this incredible word that you've given us that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so as we would just spend time in your word and learning from someone that just speaks into this thing of intercession, I pray, Father, that you would speak to us, that we would receive something from this morning, be encouraged and strengthened, and become more mature disciples in you. Because that's our goal. Our goal is to be a mature disciple of Jesus Christ, where we would be effective, where we would be using our giftings, where we would be that beautiful fragrance in the room. Father God, that's our goal. And at the end of the day, that Jesus, you would be glorified. That's our goal. And so thank you for your presence here this morning and for these incredible, beautiful ladies. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to finish the book today. Yeah. What we did is when we met last, we spoke on the section about mystics and mystical experiences and all of that sort of stuff. I want to go back to a previous chapter that I'd skipped, where she was just speaking about practical things, you know, a couple of practical points. And then I'm just going to look at the last chapter, which is really just a few questions, and I'm not really going to focus much on that. But there's a few points that she wants to highlight, and she calls it addressing the issues. And the first point that she makes is that this ministry of intercession is a helping ministry. So she says this: we as intercessors are to pray for the pastors and leaders as well as the ministries of the church. We are there to bless the leadership, to pray over their ministries that they would expand and be blessed and grow, and to pray for protection over them and their families. As intercessors, we are there to make things easier for the leaders, to understand that we're there to help, to build up, to encourage, to intercede. As we know, intercession is all about standing in the gap, okay? But as she said, so often people, her intercessory team would come to her, and there would always be these negative things that they would be seeing. So many of them can see into the spirit realm, and they're seeing all of these bad things, and it would just be negative stuff. And I always remember, it was early days of the church plant. There was a woman who wasn't really even involved in the church, but she felt that she was definitely the prophet of Heartlands, and but not in submission, and not willing to come alongside and help, but just wanted to come and bring her declaration of whatever it was. And she would so often just say, there is a ceiling over the church. There is the ceiling over the church. And she would just speak all of this negative stuff. And I would say to her, as graciously as possible, I understand that the enemy wants to put a ceiling over us, and he wants us to be contained. But I'm not focused on what the enemy's doing. My eyes are fixed on Jesus. And so, yes, I'm aware that on certain things it does feel like there's a limitation. But my God can break this open and he's there to bring freedom. So I would always try and direct her back to Jesus. And Bill Johnson I actually used a quote of Bill Johnson's with her, and she wasn't very impressed with me. But it's a simple thing of, I want to hear what my Father's saying. What is my father saying? What is my father doing? That is where I fix my eyes. Yes, I'm aware of a demonic realm that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm aware of that, but that's not where my focus will be. So she says, all of her intercessors were picking up dreams, visions, and thoughts from the second realm, that spiritual realm. And people were coming to me with so much negativity that I felt that we were not seeing correctly. And when I went to the Holy Spirit for counsel and understanding, I felt like he told me that he was allowing this information to come out because he wanted us to learn how to pray from God's perspective, from heaven's perspective. So when people would come to me with negative second realm feelings and insights, I would tell them that God was allowing them to see this for a reason. It was now their responsibility to see it from heaven's perspective, from God's perspective. I told them that they needed to ask God what he was up to. You see, when you see something negative, you always need to go to God and say, oh God, what are you doing? What are you saying through this? How do you want me to pray? It is always easy to find the dirt. God wants us to look past the dirt and look for the treasure. So as we know, at the top of the soil, that's the dirt. That's the easy stuff to get to. Where's the gold? Where are those hidden gems? They're always hidden. The gold's down there. The diamonds are down there. You know, it requires a lot of digging. It's harder to look for the gold, but that's what God's asking us. He's asking us to look for gold. So she gives an example of just there was a man in their community. He ran a tattoo parlor. She just knew that this man, there were a lot of sin issues. And the one morning she was praying, and suddenly this man's face came into her prayer life, and she could see the hate and the anger. But instead of cursing the man and cursing his business, I began to see God's heart for him. I prayed destiny over him. I prayed for God to pour his love out on him and to take away the hate and the anger. And she says, you know, I don't know what happened to that young man. I just knew that in that moment, I needed to stand in the gap for him. I was the one standing in the gap for that man, pleading his case before God. Allow God to grab your heart. Let him take you to a place of intercession. Be still and know that he is God, and find the gold in that person. So this week, we've got a wedding that's coming up, and it's never easy with weddings because you've got a limited number of people that you can invite. And there was a really horrible message that came through to me, not to my son and his future wife, but to me. And it was just full of anger, and the underlying stuff was just disappointment. But it was really nasty. And I had a choice. How do I respond to this? Do I respond to all of the negativity and the accusations with, I hate you, and defense and charm and whatever? Or do I just respond in grace? What they do with it is up to them. And this is the key thing, is that we've got to respond to these situations with grace and with mercy. And I've been praying for this person, and I was able to respond with grace and mercy. I'm sorry that you're offended. This is the situation, and please understand, and please don't be offended. But God has just given me and I'm asking him for more of it is just, this person's hurting. Because at the end of the day, when we respond to something with such venom, it's because there's something wrong here. And so by me responding with venom, does that help the situation? No. The love of Jesus and my prayers might change this. And so I'm praying now for this person, just where they're at, because I know that they are just absolutely lost. I'm far from him. And I'm praying, God, turn this around, that this person would come to a place of knowing you. And if my love towards them somehow breaks through this hard wall, Jesus, let it be so. Do I have a right to be angry with them? Of course I have a right to be angry with them, but is my anger going to help the situation? It's not going to help it, you know?
Can I just share a scripture?
Yeah.
In that way, it came to mind is that love covers a multitude of sins.
And it's exactly
in that thing. It says, above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Basically, it overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. That's exactly it.
Yeah. I've got to cover that person, their sin, I've got to cover it with love and with mercy and grace. Do I want to?
No.
No. I'd love to just point out a couple of things. Is that going to help?
No.
So Jesus, help us. Help us. Help us. No, it's very personal. But you know, the beautiful thing is that I've got this son who actually still has not listened to the messages. He just says, Mama, I don't want to. Because I will. He says, I will at some point. But he just doesn't want to be drawn into the drama. And he wants to continue to try and reach that person, you know. And that's the thing, is it's an opportunity. So in finding the gold in someone, you have to dig deeper. We have to dig deeper. It's never hard to find the dirt, but we must go deeper to find the gold. Bottom line. So she just really brings that emphasis of how... find the things that God is saying about that person. Then we can come into agreement with the gold. This person, Jesus, you want them saved. Bring them into a place of salvation. Cover them with prayer. Stand in the gap for them. A second point that she brings is just this thing of don't be offended. As a leadership, so often people will come to us and say, you know, I've got this word, or I've got that word, or this, I see this thing, or I see that thing. And at the end of the day, a leader's got to decide, okay, well, what do we share with the body of Christ? What is maybe just for that person? And as she says, so often, a person who has this word is very precious to them, and they want it released, but the leader said, no, I don't think it's the season for it. And then there's this thing of offense. And she says, just don't go there. As intercessors, we come with what we feel is a word or direction from God, and we give it to our leaders. Then we must trust them to do what they think is best. There must be a relationship that is filled with trust between the pastor and the intercessor. And I know so often this like will apply to me when I take something to Millen. Because I'm often like, babes, I've been thinking. And you can almost see him do it like a reaction, because he knows that there's something that's coming about. I'm seeing, because I'm also a visionary. So I'm seeing, okay, this is the next step. This is where we need to go. And it's usually a whole lot of work. It's a whole big thing. And so it's often the last thing he wants to be hearing. And I, like just this morning, I said to him, so, because he always says, I'm thinking. because I want a response, and then he says, well, I'm thinking. And that can be months of thinking. So I asked him again this morning, what are you thinking, you know? And he's like, yeah, maybe next year or the next. And it's not what I want to hear, you know? But again, it's that thing of I've got a working team. I know on that property that we were looking at for the Haven, the big one where you now stay, I really wanted the church to purchase that property, you know, with the non-existent money that we had at that point. But I was like, that's the property. But others on the team didn't feel it, you know? And we had to, I had to submit to the common, what the leadership were saying as a whole, you know? And it's not easy. If somebody's ringing me, it won't stop the recording. Hey, hope not. So, yeah, don't be offended. She talks about this thing of trust and honor. There needs to be a thing of we trust each other and we honor each other in this journey. Yeah, it's still recording. She speaks to the pastors. Pastors, I encourage you to honor and develop trust with those in your church who are intercessors. They may be a little bit wild and seem to do some crazy, symbolic, prophetic stuff. But if you will give them covering and let them fly, they will be dedicated to you to the death. Isn't that beautiful? Intercessors, if you will come under your leadership and submit your ministry of prayer and service, you will find fulfillment that you have been longing for. It is worth working for relationship between pastor and intercessor. And I loved her summation of that. And that's with every relationship in the church. You know, we're all very, very different. And we do things differently. And we've got different ways of looking at something like a vaccine, you know? So some will be pro-masks and some will be anti-masks and some will be, you know, I'm one of those prophetic warriors. I'm standing on that mountaintop blowing my shofar. And the other person is, well, I'm a word person and it's the word of God and that is it. And these prophetic actions are just crazy. But it's all needed. We need the pastor. We need the teacher. We need the evangelist. We need the apostle and we need the prophet. We need all of those giftings, the administrator, the person that runs so beautifully with the hospitality. We need the encourager. We need them all. But we've got to have a trust and an honor. We've got to speak well of each other. So yes, this person really bugs me, but they're a part of the body, and I've got to just speak well of them. Yes, we'll have our moments where perhaps with our husband, we'll have our moaning session about whoever. But let's try and keep it just between you and, I don't know, if you don't have a husband, then take it to Jesus. Often I'll have a moaning session with God, you know, because that's a safe place. He can handle it. He can handle my moans. She then talks about this thing called witchcraft prayers, which I thought was, it's an important one. It's essentially a prayer where there's manipulation and control. Where you're going to pray a prayer like, God, I ask that you would teach my pastor and show him that he needs to change his way of thinking. A prayer of manipulation and control. That is the nature of witchcraft. Witches control by casting spells on people or things. Trying to control comes out of a fear of being controlled yourself. It comes out of insecurity. Yeah. Praying controlling prayers is dangerous. Sometimes I've heard myself and I'm going, ooh. Susie, stop. I know those times sometimes when guys have done terrible things in the traffic. And I just want to curse them. I really do. And like I'm like, Jesus, vindication will come from you. I'm leaving them in your hands, Lord Jesus. Because really, I want to curse them. Horrible. But I can't. Because there's actually power. There is power in this. And I've got to say, Jesus, I just can't go down that road. I've got to release a blessing or just close my mouth. And because there is power. There's power in what we speak. Even over that person that's, hey? Exactly. Yeah. So it's a real challenge. It's Susie, this tongue, you know? You've got to control it.
May I just say that I won't call it witchcraft, but sometimes I'll find myself praying about a specific thing and I know exactly how I would like it to happen with, per se, my mom or my sister or whoever. And then it's like the Holy Spirit is reminding me, you need to back off.
Mm.
And then I say, okay, you know what, I don't want to limit you, so do whatever you need to do.
Yes.
I can't twist your arm.
Yes.
I can't pray and stand and fast and expect you to do. You know what's best, so I'm just
going backwards. Yeah. Yeah. We pray. We pray. We intercede. But at the end of the day, God is sovereign and he will do what he needs to do. You know? She says, there is a line that we cross when we decide that we know best in a situation. That's exactly it. And when we begin to pray prayers that control and try to change the situation to what we think should happen. I'm not happy with the way my leader is leading, so I'm going to pray that he changes and begins to do it the way I think he or she should do it. Many of us have unintentionally prayed these prayers. And if you have been one to control with your prayers, just ask the Lord to forgive you and begin blessing those whom you have unintentionally cursed. Some have done so on purpose and need to repent and make a new start. And you may need to personally commit to God that you will honor and begin serving your leaders. So it's important, that one. She then finishes this chapter with a very good warning. And I do like the story that she brings, because it's important for us to hear this. They had traveled to a church and they were ministering, and Bill, her husband, this is Bill Johnson, during one of the meetings, my husband had a word of knowledge about a woman having a stillbirth or a miscarriage. And several women stood up for prayer. And she felt in her spirit, there's too many ladies standing here. What's going on? Why so many miscarriages and stillbirths? And at lunch, she chatted to the pastor's wife. And I asked her, what had gone on? And then she also said, what have your intercessors been doing? And Benny explained, she said that there are times when we can participate in warfare that God has not ordained. And she says, so this woman then responded, this pastor's wife, and said that they had partnered with a group of other intercessors and had gone up onto a mountain called Witch Mountain, witch as in, you know, a witch. They had rebuked the principality over that region, and she told me that she felt apprehensive about doing such a thing, but they joined in anyway. Just remember, there's that scripture that says that if you do something without faith, it is sin. So it's important that whatever we do it with complete faith and conviction that this is what God has authorized me to do. And I know I've got to be careful of this, because I often, through a fear of man, people say, oh, you know, we're going to go pray here, or like the prayer walk on Saturday, or, and there's that thing of like, oh, I've got to join because I've just got to, you know, I've just got to be a part of it because that's what we're all doing. And it's important to be a part of things in our community, but make sure that you have got faith for it. Make sure that The Holy Spirit is saying, yes, do it. And of course, don't just be one of those apathetic Christians that never does anything, you know. So I'm not saying be apathetic. I'm saying go and pray, join those things, but make sure that you have faith for it. And of course, in this situation, it sounds like this church was joining another group that were going into a region that perhaps was not their area. And she didn't feel authorized to do it. And there was something in it that brought in a curse. So I want to just read what she says. As I listened to the pastor's wife explain the types of prayers that her prayer teams had been praying, I began to get a picture of what had been taking place. I felt that the Lord showed me that what they did was not led of God. That's the key word. Not led of God. I believe they entered into an area in the spirit realm where God had not sent them, and they ended up uncovered. That's another key word. It is so important that we have a godly covering. That's why I say to people, if you're a part of some ministry or something that has no covering, there's a problem. We have this Kalkiaval group that is meeting, and it's this whole question of, should, you know, is this group under the covering of Heartlands, or, you know, and we've just said to them, guys, it's really important to have spiritual covering, because then, yeah, it's a dangerous place when we don't have covering. I believe that they entered into an area in the spirit realm where God had not sent them, and they ended up uncovered. The result that was that there was loss of life. So we came up with a plan for the meeting that night. To break this curse over the church, we called forward all of the women who could not get pregnant or had miscarried or had stillbirths, and there was a whole line of women that night. Bill and I spent quite a lot of time praying, and then one woman whispered in her ear, I've just found out that I'm pregnant, and I felt like it was God saying, this is the first fruit of the healing. Beautiful. And she says, as intercessors, we need to be careful and sensitive to what God wants us to do. We are never to fear the devil, but we are also never to fight the devil on our own terms. If we let God direct and empower, there will always be advancement and victory. If you feel a hesitation in your spirit, listen to that and wait on the Lord. There have been times when I've set out to do something with all of the best intentions, and God has whispered in my ear, not now, don't touch that in prayer. And it's not to put fear in us and to stop the ministry of our intercessions, but we need to be wise, learn to listen, and be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And God's grace is so big and wide and strong that when we make a mistake, we repent, get up, and keep going. I loved her conclusion of that. And I think it's an important one. Whatever we put our hand to and we're praying for and interceding over, especially if in any way we are speaking to a territorial spirit or a principality or anything like that, make sure that you are doing it led by the Spirit of God. And then just on her epilogue, I literally just want to bring one point, and then we finished because we are now on 28 minutes. And it's really just this question. The Bible doesn't mention an official position of an intercessor. It speaks about an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. It doesn't talk about an intercessor. Where do we as Christians today get this from? The name intercessor. So I want to remind you of two scriptures. I know we brought it right at the beginning of the book, but it's important to remember it. Isaiah 59 verse 16. I'm going to go there. Depending on your version might not have the word intercessor. I'm going to read her version that says this. It's Isaiah 59 verse 16. He saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation, and his own righteousness brought sustenance. Now, I find that translation a little bit difficult to understand. So if you look at like the NLT, the New Living Translation, Isaiah 59 verse 16, I'd like to hear if anyone's got an NIV. Maybe that is the NIV. But it's basically God speaking. And I'm going to start in the middle of verse 4-15. It says, "The Lord looked and was displeased to find that there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened." That's the intercessor. So my version doesn't talk about an intercessor. "But no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself, God himself, stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained him." So there we see this thing of no one intervened, no one stood in the gap. And so God himself had to stand in the gap. The other scripture is the more well-known one, and that's Ezekiel 22 verse 30. I'm just going to read her version. "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." So an intercessor is someone who stands in the gap. And as she says, somebody like Moses is the perfect definition of an intercessor. We know that famous story from Numbers 14 verse 20, where you get the spies, the 12 spies that go into the land. 10 come back with a negative report. 2 come with a positive report. They say, "Come, we're going to get into that land. We're going to take it. It's ours." And then the 10 go, "No, no, no, there's lots of giants. No ways. We're not going in there. No ways. Uh-uh." And the people go with the 10. They go with the fear report. They go with the negative report. And God just says, "I'm taking these people out. I can't handle them anymore." And Moses stands in the gap. He's the perfect example of an intercessor. And he says, "No, no, no, God, you are slow to anger, and you are abounding in love. You will not do this to your people. Save them. Redeem them. Don't kill them." And of course, God says, and I think it's written here, God tells Moses that he would change his mind because of what Moses prayed. And I think that's what I love about this thing of intercession, is that, "Father God, I can see that this person's health is going this direction, but I'm asking you, my Father, to intervene. I'm standing in the gap, and I'm asking you to bring healing. Give this person more years, like you gave more years to Hezekiah, 15 more years." That's what we do as intercessors. We stand in the gap. My husband, "Father God, there's things that he's facing. There's this wrestle." And I'm just sensing that this might be a prayer of one of you here as ladies. "I'm standing in the gap on behalf of my husband. Father God, you can see what he's going through, and I'm frustrated with where he's at. But God, intervene. Come before him as a radiant light so that he would see you in all of your glory and your majesty, and bring that transformation that is needed. I cannot do it in my own strength, but Holy Spirit, you can do it." And I just sense his presence over this prayer. So Father God, for whoever this is, I would ask that your spirit would just intervene. We stand in the gap with this woman and this situation with her husband, where she is asking that you would reveal yourself to her husband in all of your glory and your majesty. But we understand that his eyes are covered, that there are scales over his eyes, and he cannot see you in all of your glory and majesty. He cannot see you for who you truly are. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would break off those scales, and we stand in the gap with this woman and for her prayers, Father God, that we would receive a testimony of how you have broken in. Thank you, my Jesus. Anyway, so thank you for that, Lord. I don't know where that one came from. But thank you, Jesus. So that's intercession summed up. Beautiful.